See, good morning, sisters, on this chilly first frozen morning. Our heat went on. It immediately was too hot. It must be my age, but I'm so glad you're all here and that we have coffee again and time for fellowship before. It is sweet to see that. This morning, we're in Luke 8, and I'm going to spend some time also in Matthew 13. It's a recording of the same teachings, but with a little more detail in Matthew. So I'm going to begin with Luke 8. Hear the word of the Lord. If you would pray with me one more time. Holy Spirit, I ask you now to anoint me to teach, anoint my sister's ears to hear, our hearts to listen and obey. In your precious name we ask this, Lord. Amen. After this, and this was after a miracle Jesus had done, Jesus traveled about from town to village to another village, from one town to a village to another. Excuse me. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. So as we begin this, and you know, of course, many things in the world have painted this with a different brush, but these were women who were delivered, who were healed, who were followers, who were after the spiritual truth that Jesus was giving out. And they had means with which to support him. And Jesus took it. Jesus was supported. It doesn't say in any other verse that the men came and supported him. It looks like it was a women-supported ministry. Doesn't mean others couldn't have, but this is what's recorded. And they traveled, they probably saw to the cooking, some of the washing, things like that. I don't know that they were caravans of tents. Maybe the women lived in a tent, it's possible. Jesus says there was nothing for him to lay his head on. So he was camping pretty rough. In those days, they wore robes and also prayer shawls that were long with tassels, and they'd wrap themselves in them, and so, or their cloak to sleep. So these women, here's what we know. They were broken. They were captive to the forces of evil, and Christ's word had delivered them. God had delivered them, and their response was to serve out of good heart. And so this is important as we look at the other teachings today, because our hearts are what he's going to be addressing and how we respond to being healed and our need for healing. But it's kind of both. In order to receive the word of God, there needs to be a humility. And after receiving the word of God, that humility needs to continue in place, not a pride of accomplishment or a pride that now I'm so different. I'm not that person or even thinking me that way anymore, concerned about self, but rather, yes, a new person, but serving from a new core of being loved and redeemed by God. And so the whole thing keeps being distilled down to this kingdom message and the values of the kingdom and the king. And so while this kingdom right now is invisible to us, it is a real kingdom that will physically take hold someday as well as spiritually. We are a part of a spiritual kingdom. And Jesus talked about this with Pilate when he said, if my kingdom were of this world, my people would fight, okay? But we don't fight or use the weapons of this world. We use a different kind of warfare. And so let's move on. These women have been through warfare and delivered from it and are now in response supporting Jesus. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you." This knowledge has been given to you. "But to others, I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. Now, I want to look at Matthew briefly before I move on to the meaning, because he has other scripture that he brings out in this. I'm going to back up. This is 13:10 of Matthew. "The disciples came to him and asked, 'Why do you speak to the people in parables?' He replied, 'The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. That is why I speak to them in parables, though seeing, they do not see, though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'You will ever be hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means." Now I'm back to Luke. This is the meaning of the parable, verse 11. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Now here's the picture briefly of the farmer sowing. In that day, they would kind of scratch the surface to have little ridges. They didn't have huge plows like we do, but they did have plows. And they would make furrows, and when you threw the seed out, some would fall on the ridges, some would fall down in the to be covered. Some would fall on rock that maybe a little bit of dirt had covered over, you couldn't see the rock. Some, because everything had been turned under, had seeds of thorns in the soil, and you wouldn't have known till it all started growing that there were thorns, okay? So he's speaking kind of to begin with that it looks like everything's equal, that the earth is all ready to receive. But he's pointing out, and he's saying, the seed is the word of God going, but these soils are our hearts. So he's really talking about four different kinds of hearts and how we receive the word of God. Now, with every parable, there's an immediate meaning, okay, which is to be listening, to be careful how we listen and receive. to take it all the way in, not just as knowledge on the surface or the quick thing to make us feel better today, but rather a lasting imprint as we meditate and hear it again and again. We listen, and our soil is softened. Our hearts are softened, okay? But it isn't just the immediate response that matters. Jesus teaches this in another parable about two sons who are asked to work for the father. And the first one says, no, I don't want to go. And the second one says, sure, I'll go. But he never goes. And the first son thinks better of it, goes out later and does the work. Okay. He gives that as there's an example of people progressing as this has come to them again and again. So here's my point. Don't think this is absolute for one time in history. You heard it and it's over. You didn't receive it. Okay. We all have these hearts. We all have riches and pleasures and worries of this life that choke the life of God in us. Okay. We all delight in easy things and then abandon our intensity and passion for Jesus when things are hard. We all do that. Okay. So the important thing is to see yourselves, your own heart in this parable, my heart in this parable, and in a life of being open to Jesus to listen. The quality of listening is that this seed will be in a good and noble heart who wants to follow him. We do not save ourselves. He saves us, and the word saves us. The gospel is the power of God to save us, but it must be received. And so he's bringing in the flip side of this. You may have a door, but you've got to have a hinge. It's got to open and shut. And so how are we swinging, and are we open to him? Closing out the things we should be closing out and opening to him. So think of it in those terms. I'm going to read more. No one lights a lamp, verse 16, and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. This is kind of like, huh? Okay, now let me see if I can get this straight. Somehow listening is involved in this light that he's saying, first of all, the obvious, you don't light a candle and put it under your bed, okay? You don't, they had these little lamps that had oil in them that looked kind of like a genie lamps. They were kind of like that. And they'd put them up on a stand, and then everything in the room off the ceiling and the other would be illuminated. The light is for the purpose of illumination, not just to sit and stare at the light, nor to hide the light. The light has a purpose to illuminate all that is there, okay? This is a word to us as we listen. The light in you will illuminate the darkness around you. It will do it because Christ has come into you. It will do it when you do not even know it's happening. If you are aligned as good soil, receiving the word of God, maturing in him, this light becomes stronger. Okay, but it's not that we become, there's nothing that says become a searchlight. Okay, it is not that you come in and make everyone uncomfortable. All of us have had that experience where you identify as a Christian in a worldly group and suddenly they begin to say, oh, sorry, I said that word. Oh, blah, blah, blah. You know, it happens. It just immediately happens because there's a new margin that just came in. Okay, it's not our margin, it's the margin of the kingdom that is that we have received. And that light is shining out. Now, he ties our listening to him to that light being on a stand. You can be told that you can't hear God, or that you can only hear God in certain ways. And this is true. when you hear God, it must align with what Scripture teaches, but it must be more than what our intellect can grasp, you all, because this leads to an intellectual Christianity that prizes the intelligent and leaves out the humble. Jesus never taught that. He says, be like children. Receive, take in what is good, take it into yourself, and this will produce a life and an intelligence way past what you have. It's a spiritual intelligence. And it is a light to those in darkness. It is a light to those that are confused, that you know what you believe. Do you know how many people don't know what they believe? Just the fact that you know whom you have believed and that he's held what you've given to that day is an enormous strength. And it is a strong light. And that presence, as we listen to him, and this isn't, again, I'm not saying don't go to scriptures to listen. Do go to scriptures to listen. Do hear good teaching and listen. Distinguish between things. We're to grow up. We're not to remain and say, oh, it's not up to me to know. No, it is up to you to know. The Bereans were complimented because they were people who searched the scriptures to find out if what they were hearing was true. They were commended for that. To be a good light, and a light that is not hidden under a bed. Here's the other side of it. If it's hidden under the bed, what it means is I have Jesus and I know I'm going to heaven, and anything more than this is, I mean, I'll be nice to people, but I mean, nothing else is required. That's called cheap grace. He died to save us, to remake us in his image. We are growing up in maturity to the image of Christ as a people. Individually, yes, partially, but as a group, through all time, we are part of an eternal church of which we are participating, and we don't have to carry the whole load and be the light. We're just one of the little lights, okay, holding the same truth that the rest are holding. Are we listening? Are we tender to confess? Are we tender to move towards others? Are their interests more important than our own? Does truth matter? Does winning an argument matter, or does truth matter, and how is that manifest? You should write that one down, okay? How is truth manifest? Is it only winning an argument, or how is truth manifest so that the light is shining and everything is revealed? The uncomfortable part of this is if you go into a room and you lift the light up, you're going to see dirt. The closer to the light you get, the more dirt you see. This makes us uncomfortable. Anything you begin to learn a lot about makes you a critic. I love music and all kinds of music. In my 20s, I began to take voice lessons hoping to sing classical, which was not what the Lord had for me, but I so enjoyed the study. But what it did to music for me for a while ruined it. Because everything I heard, I'd say, oh, they're violating on this, they're violating on that. That's a violation. That's what my voice teacher would say. He was British. Violating, he would yell, okay. Which just meant your vowel sound was not clear. You had gone from A to O, and he would do it like out of My Fair Lady. He was just like that guy, okay. And so your vowels had to be crystal clear like paints in a palette. Because if red was just a little pink, it was not going to be red on the top note. So there was this constant working at sound. Okay, well, what it did is it made every sound I heard have to be criticized. So for a while, I was like, shoot, I liked John Denver. This is kind of hard, you know? And so eventually, I was able to just appreciate the different expressions. I still do. But what I'm saying with spiritual things is that at first, when we grow, we become little know-it-alls. Okay, we get it, and we're so excited about the truth, and we pretty much offend a lot of people around us because we want to correct them and where their thinking is, or be sure that we're shining brightly and they know the real truth is over here, okay? He's not speaking, again, of torch light. He's speaking of an abiding light, a light of his presence in us that does reveal, but it's revealing the hearts of other people. it isn't just the dirt in the room, it's how it got dirty, okay? Everything that's secret will be revealed. This isn't a verse to terrify us that, oh, we're not absolutely clean yet. Heavens don't have the light shine on me. No, we want Christ to rise and his light to shine on us because in him, we have been made clean. And that is the message of the kingdom. Everyone can be made clean by coming to him. And so the message is just removing that burden that you're lost and can never be found. This is obvious in the first verses of this chapter that these women had been delivered and had been cured of things and were now able to serve. They moved from the receiving to the giving. That's light shining. Their light was in the background, okay? But it certainly was a benefit. We lost a precious sister last Thursday night, or dawn on Friday, Lori McNeil, who was in Legacy for a long time. And Lori was a servant. And she led our hospitality and in small groups, and she was on our steering committee. Beautiful, beautiful woman, early 50s, beautiful sons. Her youngest are seniors in high school. She didn't want to go. The cancer took her really fast and very brutally at the end. So that was especially painful. But as I've reflected on Lori, as all of us who know her have been doing, you know, I see her in the background moving around. I said to my husband in the kitchen, honey, all those years, for those of you in Discovery don't know this, but for years, Legacy would make dinner for the Russells. Every Friday, we came home with a dinner. I mean, for years, like 12 years of dinners. So I finally said, y'all, there's only two of us. You don't need to do this anymore. Lori wrapped over 200 dinners in cellophane and carried them to my car along with Bev Harland. Over 200 dinners that other women had made, always in the background, always sure I parked where she could get to the car, set, always looking out. No one else was noticing this. Of course, we were. But this background, was her light shining brightly? Was she up there teaching? No. She was certainly participating in small group. We each have gifts we give, and those lights are beams to people around us. And they softly illuminate, but we are not the source of it. And we are not to get the attention of it, but rather that this is what the kingdom is like. I know she's with Jesus. We know we don't grieve like those without. We're sorry her life was cut short. We will miss her. But I know that she is among the saints, happy, okay? Happy, because she is released from all the darkness and death that is here. That is our destiny. And we will one day all sit at the marriage feast of the Lamb. Lori will probably be serving, okay? What a precious thing, okay, that we will each participate and bring what we have. And this is the quality of the light that we're bearing of Jesus. We get good quality light from listening well. It isn't just hear, it's listen. And in the Matthew passage, when he said, I can't speak these parables to people with calloused hearts, you think, well, why not? I mean, why wouldn't the word just dig those calloused hearts up? Wouldn't you think if you hear it? That doesn't really happen. The more you hear something and don't believe it, the harder you get. Beware of this with children you're praying for and you just keep sending them the stuff you want them to hear and they're not hearing it. Back off. You could be actually making them more calloused. Love them more, pray more, give them to God, and move into your life. And when the time comes, they'll come and ask. Or they'll remember after you're gone. But our dogged determination that someone receive what we've received does not work. It only works if they open the door, if they listen and allow that word in. But more and more piled on top does not make it good ground. So the word is spoken. I'm not also saying keep the word inside. We should have a word in season and out, particularly our own testimony. This is what Christ did for me, and I want to love you the way he loved me. This is central. It is central to the kingdom of God. The new commandment is the life of Christ in us and to express to others what we have received. That's light. And we grow in listening to his word, both what's said and in the mouths of others that comes to us in prayer, in situations where we pray, Lord, what do I do here? And we follow through. We don't hang back and say, well, it might be a mistake if I do this. I better not do it. Jesus says, step up. I'm not a hard man. I'm not going to condemn you for investing what I've given to you. Invest it. We'll work it out later. He's mad at those who bury it. We say, here's your talent. I'm going to bury it. I knew you were a hard man and you'd require something of me, so I just decided I wouldn't speak. That's not it either. You put the light on a stand. You listen well. You bear well in the gifts God's given you, and you are more concerned about those in the room than you. And this begins to manifest. I'm going to read again from 16. No one lights a lamp and hides in a jar and puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Now, that's a little scary. I mean, some of us can think we're saved and not be. And so what he's saying, even with connecting this back to the seeds, is that there should be fruit. There should be growth that comes and lasts. Okay, if that's not happening, listen, Lord, why is this not happening? Okay, is there something choking this out in me? Is there a thorn that's doing that? Have I not fully received it, thought I did, but really I just wanted the kind of goodies that were promised, but not the cross that I'm to bear? The whole story? I only want the effects, but not that I die and he lives? Gospel message is deep, and it works in us towards that. We're all on that road with it. But these are strong words when he says, some will think they are and aren't. Be careful how you listen, he's saying. Know that it's going in and have it producing a crop, not because you did it, but because the word has really taken root in you. We don't know why we believe like we believe or as strongly as we believe. It's him holding on to us, but it is because we open that door and let him in. And he finishes the work he began. But the question is, did he really come in? Did we really surrender ourselves to him? Is this something just academic that I believe is better than other faiths? Or have I really received in my soul a savior because I'm fallen? And I need saving. Every day, I need saving. Now, Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. He replied, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. This is the same lesson again. We hear it and we move in it. It isn't just something we know a lot about, but we practice the goodness that is embodied in the gospel. Sometimes you'll think, I don't know if I'm practicing it or not. I mean, I'm trying. I mean, I don't seem to be doing anything very important. And this is not a story about me. It will sound like it's about me, but I'm just telling you about the frustration when you get this way and you think, how do you give everything away to the poor? You know, I remember when Randy and I first bought our first house, and it was a nice house, and we had these three little babies,
And we had one car. Randy worked all day washing windows, and he'd do ministry stuff at night on Sunday. But I remember praying about reading the scriptures about giving away to the poor. And Lord, I'm just not doing this, and I don't know how to do this. And what does this mean? You must show me where I can do this. I mean, I'm housebound. How am I supposed to do this? So sometime during that week or the week after, it was my time to use the car, and I went up to the Kmart. Kids were in the back seat and pulled into the side, and the windows were open. We didn't have air conditioning in that old car. And over to my right in a car was a girl just bawling her eyes out. I mean, sobbing. It's like, what in the world? I kept watching her, and I said, kids, mommy's going to talk to her. You can see me. I'm going to be right out the window. I'm going to talk to this lady. So I go over. It's a young girl. She's about 19, 20 years old. I said, honey, what is the matter? She said, we had a fire, and we've lost everything. And I have my nephew with me, and we fled. I mean, it was this long story of a bad custody case wrapped up with a fire and trying to flee with the child so the bad guy wouldn't get the child. And it was one of these just intense stories. It wasn't fake. This was a kid in a hidden part of the parking lot. I was to the side, by the garden center, over to the side. Okay. So I immediately, the Lord said, here it is. I said, I want you to follow me to my house. So we got in the car, we went back. Randy was home. I said, Randy, there's someone I want you to talk with. So she came up and poured out her story. Meanwhile, I am in the bedroom pulling out clothes. I mean, anything the kids hadn't worn and were going to wear, if we had two of this, that went. I mean, huge bags of clothes. It felt so good that she and her sister and this little baby boy were going to have something to wear. And then I knew where it was going. It had nothing to do with the other. God gave me the opportunity. He answered the prayer. She later called. Randy did help her get with the right people in the custody thing. But she later called and said, I can't believe the clothes. She said, they weren't just old clothes. You gave me new clothes. I said, Jesus Christ gave you those clothes. I was just the vehicle. I'm so thankful to have met you and have the opportunity to share. I mean, honestly, and I did. I was. Okay. This was not like great Kathy Russell. This was like, there it was after the answer to prayer, having prayed it. If we will pray, Lord, I don't see it. Right now, I feel like I'm just kind of out here floating. Sharpen me. Make my eyes see things I wouldn't normally see. Help, show me where to step up, that it would, I'd be giving unto you, not just to a need, but unto you, so that my roots go down deep in your love, that I'm listening, I'm following through on the word you gave me. Because you all, we can order Christianity to death and institutionalize it to death. And there's just this program to do and that program to do and this to do and that. And you feel more and more removed from the organic spiritual life of the Holy Spirit living in us. And that dampens the light. So follow through, hearing and follow through is really what these parables are pointing to. Careful listening and follow through. And confession. If you are somebody that gives up when it gets hard, you ask God for steadfastness. And he will use hard things to make us steadfast. It isn't that he just takes the hard things away. Notice when you're praying and praying for others, the color of your prayer in the sense, is it just to alleviate suffering? Are all your prayers about alleviating suffering? Or are they about God's love being manifest through things to people? Okay, are we praying in a mature way? Are we praying things for which we don't even have faith to see them brought about? Or do we really believe that Christ is the Savior of our families too, and can meet them whatever happens when we're here or not, when they're listening or not? He died for them. We care. We get mad at them. They can do this. They can be rebellious. They said they believed that blah, blah, blah. We don't care anywhere near like he cares. And many of our children were taught the right thing and don't know the love of Jesus the way we do. Many of us. I bet there are a lot of hands that would be raised. Okay. They've heard the right stuff, but they don't have it. To them, they're shallow. They got hard hearts. Like, Lord, what in the world? He never said our way of parenting would bring about spiritual maturity in others. It's the new commandment. We're sharing how he saved us and what it did. They will hate you, he said, sometimes even in your own household. They don't want to hear that. Doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. It means they don't want to hear it, okay? And the light in you is illuminating what their need is, and they don't like it. So Jesus is clear on this. You will have tribulation in this world. And blessed are you when you're rejected on account of me. So we should expect that. And that's part of the going deep in the soil and letting the light shine. Lord Jesus, I pray we would become careful listeners to you, that you would grow us in difficulty as well as in times of joy. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would search our hearts in this time of meditation, that lights would go on in our own conscience of things we need to turn from or build up. Thank you, Lord. Amen.